Welcome to the Back to Basics podcast series from Stone King and RSM, created specially for Academy Trust. I'm Richard Lewis, partner at RSM, where we provide audit, tax and consulting support to the education sector. Throughout this series, we are pleased to be joined by experts from Stone King.
Hi, I'm Catherine Robinson, Senior Associate in Stone King's employment team, a leading law firm for the education sector. In this series, we'll be giving Academy Trust the knowledge and insights into key topics, including governance, risk, and special severance payments.
We hope you find this series sharp, practical, and insightful. Hello, listeners, and welcome to another podcast with Stone King and RSM in conjunction with CST. I'm Richard Lewis, audit partner for RSM, and today we are going to touch on the topic of good governance, back to basics. And to join me in this conversation, I have Jean, Alex and Michael. Jean, please introduce yourself.
Thanks so much, Rich. My name is Jean Boyle. I'm a partner in the employment team. I also head up that team. I'm also joint head of our education sector as a whole, and it's a real pleasure to be part of this podcast. Thanks.
Thanks, Jean. Michael.
Thanks, Rich. I am a partner in the education team, head of the team itself, and focus on operational and governance issues in the state-funded education sector.
Thank you. And finally, Alex.
Thank you very much. Yes, I'm Alex Howe, a director within RSM, part of our consulting team, very much focused on governance, risk and internal control within Academy Trust. And it's great to be part of this session. Thank you.
Thanks, Alex. And as I said, I'm Richard Lewis. I am the firm's, RSM the firm's, head of academies, and it's great to be here as well. So first of all, folks, here is the question on good governance back to basics. First of all, is the DfE have issued the Academy Trust Handbook, and also the DfE have issued the Academy Governance Guide in June 25. And on those two amazing documents, do you have any top tips and tips to how to avoid pitfalls for compliance with those handbooks in terms of good governance? So a bit of an A and a B question there. So we'll start with Jean. Over to you.
Thanks, Rich. I think for me, the key really is about decision making and about ensuring that the Academy Trust really engages with the decisions that are going to be need to be made. From my perspective, obviously, I work a lot in terms of staffing and decisions regarding employees. So often I'll get involved when it's a kind of emergency type situation where somebody perhaps needs to leave the trust. And some of those kind of pitfalls that I see on a very regular basis is that actually trustees and senior leaders won't have thought about where the decision making, where the power for that decision making lies in relation to some staffing decisions, specifically at a senior level. So when we have a kind of emergency situation, as it were, where perhaps something, perhaps a safeguarding issue or something's, you know, really going wrong with a particular employee, that quite often we'll need to kind of re-engineer the governance to take it back to where actually that authority to make those decisions lies. So really for me, the top tips around kind of governance in the employment and HR context is for trustees to re-engage with senior leadership teams and the scheme of delegation and almost work through scenarios sometimes to establish what would happen in these kind of scenarios, and where does that decision making lie, and how is that authority delegated down, and not just wait for the situations which you know they're calling an employment lawyer and there's something gone wrong. So it's about engagement for me and thinking about decisions that might need to be made in the future.
Thanks, Jean. Some key points that you brought out, which is quite informative. And on the back of that, Michael, would you like to anything you'd like to add to Jean's points around those top tips and how to avoid pitfalls?
I think that the key for me in terms of good governance is ensuring you have a balanced board, and the Academy Trust Handbook that you referred to, Rich, talks about ensuring that you you carry out internal scrutiny, and part of that internal scrutiny is going to be to ensure that you undertake a skills audit regularly, to ensure that your board is empowered to make those decisions that Jean refers to. And there's no doubt that that strong governance is about making decisions and making sure those decisions are informed and are taken promptly. So I think that, you know, that's the key thing for me about good governance is you start off with a balanced board, and to get that you need to undertake a skills audit to ascertain where your weaknesses are.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. And Alex, you're an internal auditor. On the back of those comments you just heard from Jean and Michael, what would you add from an internal audit perspective to assist the trust, helping them with good governance and getting back to the basics, especially in accordance and compliance with those two important handbooks? Well, one's a handbook and one's a guide.
Thank you, Rich. Yeah, I think in terms of from an internal audit perspective, one of the key elements and key components we look at is making sure that policies and procedures and structures, which help to obviously inform those decisions, are aligned to obviously the Academy Trust Handbook, and that should be done on an annual basis to make sure that you continue to be aligned in terms of the committee structures and the appointment, obviously, of the relevant committees and the terms of reference. And it's a good point Michael and Gina mentioned around the skills and the decisions. You know, we need to make sure moving forward, if you're future-proofing, that you consider the skills and having the right experience. Think about, obviously, AI as a good example. Have you got the right skills on your board or committees to make sure you're taking that forward and considering not only the opportunities but all the risks as well? So I think it's making sure you're future-proofing in terms of your structures.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. Great responses from all three of you there. And just to go back to that basic point of good governance, keeping it simple, I'm a big believer of. Gene, is there one top tip you would like to give a trust to keep things simple, to get good governance and get back on track?
I think it's to dig out. Now, I don't want to sound like a stuck record here, but it's to dig out that scheme of delegation. I think the scheme of delegation is quite often something that people think, oh, have we got one? Okay, we've got one. We ticked that box when we became an academy and have never really engaged with it. So it's to really understand what that says and what it means in practice would be my top tip. I think there's been a number of circumstances where I've kind of been flown in to provide some advice which is in this kind of zone, and I talked earlier about emergency type situations. Quite, you know, sometimes it's not, sometimes it's run of the mill decision making which actually trusts are just not sure where those decisions lie. Let's use a practical example in my world. So where does the decision making lie when you've got a teacher, for example, who wants to retire, but they want to return to school on a part-time basis? So we would call that kind of flexible retirement or phased retirement in the kind of pensions context. Now, that might sound a really straightforward thing that the CEO or the head teacher, depending on the structure, might be responsible for. And you know, we can all look at that and think, oh, that's easy, Jean. That's, you know, of course that's that. But actually, within a multi-academy trust, that can have wide-ranging kind of precedent-setting implications. And so really, that kind of decision is something that I would want to see having a process in place, as Alex has talked about, having possibly a policy, and it being properly delegated down to probably a committee, either a local governing body or at higher trustee board level, to ensure consistency across the trust. Because what that one teacher who might want to come back part-time to facilitate their life plans in terms of retirement, yeah, that's lovely and it might seem inconsequential. But if that individual head teacher is making decisions about that those kind of decisions in relation to teachers, but another head teacher in a school is not, then that potentially can lead to some quite significant liabilities. I'm not quite sure that a lot of trusts and certainly individual heads in schools within trusts perhaps realise that really is a governance issue, and it's a key decision making that really that needs to be thought through quite, you know, from the outset.
Yeah, thank you, Jean. Michael, you touched upon a good point earlier on around a key component of good governance around skills, etc. And just bringing on that point, and I'll bring in Alex first, if I may, is Alex, in terms of good governance and back to basics, what would you say are the key components for trust to be really on ball with?
I think from an internal audit perspective, one of the key things from my perspective is around risk and strategy. So from the board down to committees is making sure there's that check and challenge, whether that's through a self-assessment of the meetings themselves, the committees themselves, is making sure there's a real focus on obviously the strategy and vision of the trust, but risk should be a theme all the way through the organisation, and how, if that is having an impact in terms of delivering the trust strategy. So I think making sure risk is weaved into everything and the governance structure is really important. And you have to have the right skills, as you've mentioned, Richard, in terms of the right people and skills and experience to make sure that actually understand the risk management arrangements to deliver that strategy.
Thanks, Alex. And Michael, back to you on a good governance back to basics, a key component of that. Any top tip you'd like to add to that? That Alex just mentioned.
Yeah, and I fully endorse what Alex said about you know, risk being woven into all governance structures. I think and following on from that, and in many ways this goes to the heart of risk, is that trustees should not forget that, you know, you have your articles of association, and one wonders how often trustees go back and reflect on what their duties are under their companies, under the academy's constitution. And of course, under the constitution, they are required at least once every 12 months to review the constitution, the membership, and in terms of reference of any established committee, including local governing bodies. So there is, and I'll use this word again later on in this podcast, I dare say, there is a requirement to remain dynamic. You know, governance is not static. So you need to continually review and refresh in order to remain on top of any further directions from the department, but also to ensure that your governance is fit for the structure that you are operating.
Michael, you mentioned then dynamic in your response, and what are the tips to have dynamic good governance and components would you like to bring out to the listeners?
Yeah, so I think that ultimately good governance has to be implemented and be retained, as it were, in order for an academy trust to remain strong. So in terms of governance remaining dynamic, and that, as I referred to earlier, means regular reviewing of the terms of reference of your committees and your local governing bodies. It refers to, as Jean mentioned earlier, the importance of a clear scheme of delegation, which should also be reviewed, and I would suggest it's reviewed every 12 months. But moving on from there and coming back to points that we've made earlier, we've talked about the skills audit and making sure that you have a balanced board. Where governance can stumble is you can go from having an excellent board and then suddenly a weak board. Why is that? Because there hasn't been good succession planning. So we have to remember that even when we have a settled board, we should always be thinking to the future. We should always be thinking of ensuring that there is a seamless handover of the governance baton in order to remain effective. I think this probably blends into Alex's very well made points about risk, you know, because that's part of your risk oversight. You know, how are we going to ensure that our governance remains strong? So I think that those are the two issues that I would very much encourage boards, no matter how strong you are, to think about that succession and as part of that, your overall risk oversight.
Thanks, Michael. And from an audit perspective, financial statements audit, that is, I always like to ask my clients to make sure their financial statements disclosures are updated for good governance points we've just been discussing and really articulating those financial statements, those key matters, and to move away from boilerplate disclosures and hopefully, please don't use the words Coketown Trust in your financial statements. Which moves us nicely onto, I think, the future of governance. This is what you alluded to there, Michael. And Alex, we know that CST have published a paper on next generation for good governance and governance matters. Do you want to just pick up on some of the key points from that paper?
Yeah, thank you, Richard. So, yeah, back in November 2024, Confederation of School Trust prepared a paper called Next Gen Governance, and it's all around stewardship for sustainable success. So as Michael mentioned, being dynamic, refreshed, it's a really good paper to help facilitate, I guess, a self-assessment and real focus in mindset towards stewardship, because everything changes. It doesn't stand still. The risks change in the environment. Strategies continue to evolve. And the paper includes a number of questions for the board. So it's a good tool, as I said, to do a self-assessment around that future-proofing for your governance arrangements. So if you've not had a chance to have a look at that as an opportunity, it's on the CST website. Thank you, Richard.
Thanks, Alex, and thanks for making reference to that CST website as well. So listeners, please do get a copy of that document, download it from the CST website, and also, if you've not had a chance to read the Academy Trust Handbook and the DfE Academy Governance Guide, download them too. So, listeners, thank you very much for your time listening to us today. And thank you very much, colleagues, for this discussion we've been having. So, Jean, thank you. Alex, thank you. Michael, thank you. So, for me, it's a wrap, folks. And look forward to the next meeting we have together on this podcast.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Goodbye. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you found this episode helpful. Be sure to join us for the next instalment in the Back to Basics series, where we will continue to unpack key topics for Academy Trust. And if you're attending the CST conference later this year, do come and say hello to RSM and Stone King, and we will be delighted to continue the conversation around the topics we've been exploring.
Don't forget, you can stay connected for more expert insights from Stone King and RSM. Please do give us a follow on social media. Thanks for joining us. We hope you found this series helpful.